Okay, guys, we're doing a really fun Patreon trivia night.
Big announcement.
Woo!
Big announcement. Big announcement.
On December 12th, all of the information is on our Instagram. I'll put it in the description box below, but you're not going to want to miss out. So make sure you click on that link and look up for all the information.
And it's only for Patreoners. Woo! But it's going to be really fun. So, and there's prizes.
Woo! And we're going to be hosting it. So you're literally going to see us on there.
It's going to be us live.
Just kidding. And you're going to have a blast, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you join if you want.
Check it out. Okay, now start the episode. All right, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. Ooh. How you doing?
I'm all
right. Right before we started filming, you guys, we were recapping the finale of the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, guys, I'm pissed.
Wait, sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I was pretty
upset. By the time you guys see this, you should have watched it.
I was pretty upset. I won't lie to you. I was pissed. I was glad.
I feel like anything I say is going to sound mean.
I just think I wanted Josh or Dan to win. I thought Maddie out of, obviously he was most improved out of everyone. He really.
Okay.
I was proud of him for getting to the finale, but I really wanted Dan or Josh to do it because I felt like they did so good the whole season.
Me too.
At least Josh did. I know Dan.
Well, and I like, listen, I understand that like you know, like sometimes people choke in the finale and that's fine. Josh didn't.
No.
Josh was numero uno in both first challenges. And then the last one, he just kind of did mid. But I just feel like why aren't those more heavily weighed? And like,
how does someone come last in the technical and then win the whole
And that's why I'm like, that cake couldn't have been that good. There's no way. But also like, and I don't know if this is controversial at all, but a lot of the shit he was saying in the finale, that Maddie guy, homophobic. Hello?
I don't remember what he said.
He was talking about how he's embarrassed to tell people he's a baker. I'm embarrassed. I don't like telling people, especially not my friends. Why?
Oh, I missed that.
And then even like
I was wolfing down some Red Robin while I was watching.
Well,
it.
Even the host, Allison, she was like, what do you mean you're embarrassed? Why would you be embarrassed? It's a good thing. And he goes, it's just not what lads do. You know what I'm saying? And then you give him the fucking award.
I don't know. I just told Drew I was so confused.
And maybe that's not what he meant, but it was very obvious. Like, someone validate me.
Yeah.
That he was working through his internalized homophobia. It was very clear, like, through the entire season and in the last episode especially. Mm-hmm. Because when they were, even when they talked to his parents, like, the dad was like, yeah, I don't know anything about this fucking baking. I don't know anything about it. And then the mom goes, he made our anniversary cake last year. And he goes, did he?
She goes, yeah, it was lemon.
And then I'm like, well, no wonder your son is struggling with telling people he likes to bake. Who gives a fuck? He literally said because he's a teacher or something, or he works with kids.
A PE teacher, yeah.
He's like, oh, I take my bakes to my kids all the time. And she goes, oh, that's cool. Do they like them?
And he says it's from his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, I always tell them she makes them. And he's like, why? He goes, I was like, you know, like, that's just what lads do. I mean, he didn't say that, but like, it's like the justification is like, oh, he's embarrassed. And I'm like, that's not what it is.
Yeah.
It's because he thinks it's for chicks. And that's why he doesn't want to tell people that. And that's the part that annoys me.
Yeah, I could see that.
And you didn't give it to my Virgo King. I literally, after the episode, I was like, I'm mad at them.
At the show, me too.
I'm mad at the show. I'm mad at Paul and Prue. I'm mad at you guys.
I was too. I was pretty upset.
But I did love the epilogue, like I always do.
I liked it, but it wasn't as good as it usually is.
Yeah. Maybe because they picked the wrong winner. The vibes were off.
But I was telling Drew that usually when they do the finale, they take into consideration their entire time in the show.
In the tent.
Not just how they did that day.
Well, and like they weigh it, but they also like mostly weigh the day, which is fine. But that's why I said, did you guys just throw out the first two challenges?
Yeah.
Because what the fuck? Like,
I was really confused. And then I didn't know why they told Josh they just weren't impressed by his decorating, right? And then I was like, but you liked Maddie's messy one? He only did a crumb coat. You know what a crumb coat is?
Yeah.
You can still see through the cake because you need to put more shit on it.
Well, he didn't even do that. He did like a watercolor. If he had done a crumb coat, it would have looked nicer, honestly. But he like did that watercolor shit. And
but
like
when they zoomed in and then
it was leaning so severely on top of that. And that's why they said Josh's was good. It just wasn't up to the level of his Showstoppers typically are, which I think is fair. But if it tasted like shit, that would have been different. Or if it was underbaked or anything like that, then I would have understood.
I just felt like, I told my mommy the whole episode, the finale, felt like they were so hypercritical of Josh.
I agree.
Like Dan fucked it with the eclairs. That's fine. And he knew it. And he said, forgot to powder the sugar. How do you forget to put powdered sugar?
And I told Billy, I'm like, he is so nervous. He's making silly mistakes.
Yeah.
And then when they fucking hated it or they didn't like it, he was like, ah, well.
Yeah.
And he's just there for vibes.
He's like, that's fine. But for Josh, I felt like they were so hypercritical of him in that episode. And I was like, there's no way Maddie's your better.
And honestly, I felt like that Paul was like that towards Dan.
Yeah. The whole show.
I was like, the way that you are coming off a little racist about his flavors, because every time he was like, I'm trying Asian. And he was like, again? Like that type of shit. Like Billy literally was like, it's getting a little.
These are inspired by a Thai green chili.
Yeah, curry. It's like a sprinkle of like, hold on, I got a Ku Klux Klan member. That's like what it felt like. And I felt like they were coming after his fucking neck. And then in the finale, they did the same thing to Josh. I'm like, you guys were planning from the beginning
that you're gonna let Maddie win.
And yeah. I just made this joke offline, but I told Jason, I was like, where's this from, guys? He goes, everyone, where's this from? It was a beauty contest. They weren't even listening to the music. Boo! That's how I felt watching the finale.
It's so true. And then you know what's so funny? Usually at the end, when they do the epilogue where they show all of them, like how they
and he didn't hang out with one bitch.
No.
You
know,
not
you know
one.
Who hung out with a bunch of them?
Well, Saku.
Well, not only Saku and Nikki.
And Nikki.
But I'm saying Dan hung out a bunch and so did Josh. I like that no one, every time they're taking pictures, who's at the front of the selfie? Taking the selfie.
And listen.
My King Josh.
Exactly.
Josh, if you're watching this, because I know he's a huge fan of Two Idiot Girls, we were rooting for you from the very beginning.
Josh, are you a Virgo? Please answer my question. I feel like so severe. I feel like
and
so deep in my bones.
If you were an idiot friend, Josh, then you would have seen all season. We've been recapping the Great British Baking Show on our Patreon.
You and Dan.
We've been behind you guys.
From episode one.
Episode one.
Yeah. I was like, those two are going to the end. Yeah. And I was right. And I think y'all were cheated.
I get why Maddie went, because Tash kind of fucked it.
No, she did. She choked in the semi, which is like, okay, fine. Yeah. But even when he got through, I was like, no way. I had a feeling.
When they were like, this is the best chocolate cake I've ever had. I'm like, oh, how original a chocolate cake.
As if I can do anything like that. Me getting so hypercritical and I don't know shit about baking.
I was like, there's no way. Look at the flakiness in there.
And listen.
And he had no layers in his lardy cake. And what the fuck's a lardy cake? I'm scared.
It looks disgusting. Also,
every time they cook with lard, it looks like Vicks vapor rub. Yeah.
When they're like crumbling it and they're spreading it like that. Also, in the very first episode, when they're giving their lore, right? Yes. Like each person has like a little like reel, like some B-roll footage of their life at home. Mm-hmm. When they showed Maddie's, they showed that they were engaged or whatever, like his girlfriend or whatever. Like they said that they were planning on getting married. I don't know if they were already engaged or what.
Well, they got engaged after the show.
Okay, that's what confused me, because I remember this, and y'all will remember this if you love the show as much as I do. In his little B-roll, they showed a clip of them looking at wedding dresses in a shop.
Oh, well, then maybe they just finalized the date or something after the show. Yeah.
So they're looking at wedding dresses. Okay. Right? And he's walking behind her. And again, these are all staged things. Like they're like, oh, just look around and like talk to each other. And I know that because I've filmed a bunch of shit like that. Right. Yeah. So they're walking and they're like, she's like, what do you think of this one? And he's like,
you guys are a family one time. Almost gone on wife swap. Okay, keep going.
We'll tell that story after. So then he goes, yeah, I mean, that looks fine. Right. And then she goes, you said that about the last one. He goes, because they're all white. Like there's no difference between any of them. That's when I knew.
I find it funny that you don't know that those clothes were picked for you by the people in this room. What's that from?
When he said that about her wedding dress, and he said that shit, and then he did that weird open mouth, tongue shaking laugh.
True.
That's what he does.
He does. Very British.
Listen, I don't want to indict his character. Maybe he's a nice guy. I just think he's working through some shit, some internalized biases. And when I see a straight white man take something from two people that I believe deserved it more. And throughout the entire show, it's like some like, you know, this fucking just like some fucking bacon shit or whatever. And it's so like, it's so homophobic. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's like, oh, so feminine to fucking bake. I'm all, you're in the Bake Off tent, bitch. You know what I'm saying?
You have an apron on.
You love baking. So shut the hell up. Anyways, when I saw
is
that
clip. Is it not gay anymore now that you won?
Fellas, is it gay to win Great British Bake Off?
Fellas, sound off in the comments fellas, below.
Is it gay to go live in a different city and bake a new three new baked goods every week for 12 weeks straight?
Sound off below.
Comment down below if you think that's gay. That's why I was like, dude, when he made that joke about the wedding dresses, I was like, I literally told him, I was like, I don't like that guy. And I could not believe that he was making it every week. I couldn't believe it. Anyways,
I feel sure like he's nice. He always skated by. And then how does he win?
Anyways. Clearly, I was just a really big fan of Josh and Dan.
And Dan.
I'm sure he's cool. Whatever. But my...
I feel like Tosh had a little crush on him.
My gut is never wrong about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling. I got a spidey fucking
tingle. Did you have one about Chiggs too?
Yeah, I did. I didn't think he was like him, but I felt like there was some.
He was the Chiggs of the season. He kind of skated by, barely did good. And then the last.
No. Wrong. Because Chiggs was fucking good. He really was. And he tried crazy shit. Like, he fucked up a couple times, but like, he was fucking good. And he could decorate really well.
Mm-hmm.
So Chiggs was good.
Which to me is pretty feminine.
it's pretty.
I don't know. We're all thinking.
Fellas, is it gay to win Bake Off?
You know, usually when the show ends, I'm always like, dang, I wish they won money. I would always wish that. And this season, I was like, I'm glad.
I'm glad it's a cake tin.
I'm glad it's just that cake platter.
A cake stand. Anyways, disappointed about the ending. Do I miss the show already? Yes. Will I watch it again? Yes. But if you bring another one of those guys on there, I swear to God.
I will say I did love the hosts this year. I absolutely love. We always love Noel, but I absolutely loved Allison.
Dude, that he said a funny ass joke in the finale.
Which one? He said a couple.
Yeah, the one that he said during the technical when he introduced, he's like, okay, so you guys are going to leave the tent. You know, they always like dismiss the judges.
Yeah.
And then he's like, now that she goes, there they go. He's like, and they're off. He goes, yep. And she goes, what are they doing? And he goes, to make sweet, sweet love.
I thought you were talking about, he goes, this one was set by Paul and he has personally requested that you all bake this in the nude.
Dude, no, he said Prue.
Oh, yeah.
But I said it would have been funnier if he said Paul, yeah. But he probably wouldn't have liked that joke.
No. So he made that joke. He made another one where Allison's like, can I see the winner? He goes, well, yeah, it's going to be your last season, so you might as well.
Yeah, he's like, well, it's your first and last, so might as well. He was killing it.
That one. And then he said another one. He goes, I'm putting all my money on Amos. And I told him, like, that's mean because he went home first.
He's like, I got 20,000 on him.
So I think I'm in the hole, guys.
And that's my kind of judge. Yeah. My kind of like quippy little hosts, like that's my kind of guy.
Yeah,
but I love Noel, yeah, and I loved like, Allison. I thought she was great.
We were huge fans of So You Think You Can Dance for like season 7 and 8.
Yeah,
and I remember the host was Kat Deely.
Yeah,
I've never liked watching hosts talk too much. Get to the program.
Yeah,
why not? And I think of Kat Deely a lot because I remember used to be like, oh, she talks too much. Just get to the thing.
Yeah.
Every time I watch the Great British Baking Show, I look forward to seeing the host.
Me too. And they're just so essential to the vibes. Mm-hmm. The part two where Josh was like, he was like, well, you obviously. She's like, what are you going to miss out of the tent? And then he goes, I heard Allison just told me that you said you're going to miss her the most. And he goes, I've been here for 7 years and no one has ever said that to me.
But I'm very sad it's over. Also very sad about the winner. But what are you going to do?
I'm mad about the winner, but I am sad that it's over. My favorite show of all time. Truly the best show ever.
Do you have anything else you want to share? That's the first thing that came to my mind. I watched two Christmas movies yesterday. Do you want to hear about them?
Sure.
I watched Family Switch, the way I don't remember it. the new Jennifer Garner one. It's on Netflix.
Oh, that's cute. Did you see that TikTok I sent you of Jennifer Garner?
Of her emptying
what's
her bag?
What's in my bag?
She's one of the funniest people on TikTok.
She is so... Dude, I was giggling along with her.
Have you ever watched her videos?
When she was like, apparently I'm really afraid I'm never going to have enough nuts.
Have you ever watched your other TikTok?
Yeah, I've seen a few. Like, I saw one where she bathed her cat. That one was pretty funny.
They're all so funny.
Yeah, she's a gem. She is so cute.
And she's reading two different books because her kids are both reading them in school.
Sweet. Such a sweet, funny. Sweet lady.
Yeah, okay, so you watched that one. At homes. It was very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was okay. I don't know that I'd recommend it that much, but it was just okay. But you know what I would recommend? I watched Candy Cane Lane. It's the new Eddie Murphy, Tracy Ellis Ross Christmas movie.
Oh, I saw them doing interviews for it.
Yeah, I watched it on Prime. It was really funny. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Eddie Murphy's just so funny. So I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you watch Quiz Lady yet?
No, I need to though.
Quiz Lady's good. Like Alex, you guys know Alex. We talk about Alex all the time. She came to my house and forced me to watch something new every night, which you guys know is really hard for me.
Over to Drew's house, it's just Modern Family. And then the other day we were here and I told her, can we switch the season? Because I always watch these episodes when I come over.
Yeah.
And then Drew told me that they watch the same seasons and I didn't know.
No, we don't. I'm saying like we typically put it on our favorite seasons and it always ends right there. And like my favorite seasons of Modern Family are when the kids are young, mm-hmm. like younger.
Yeah.
I like the later seasons too, but like when they're young is like those are the funniest fucking episodes, mm-hmm. like when the kids are young. So those are my favorite ones, which is like season 1 to 4.
Yeah, those ones are good.
When they start getting older, like those ones are good too, like 5, 6, 7. But towards the end, they're all like adults or turning into adults. So those ones are funny too, but they're just not the same to me.
I feel that.
But yeah, you guys know. But anyways, I watched Quiz Lady. I thought it was good.
Okay.
It was very entertaining. It was really funny. Like Sandra Oh is so fucking funny in that movie.
I just started.
And it reminded me a lot of you and I. In a lot of ways. Because they're sisters, right? Because they're sisters. But like in not though.
I just finished all of Loki season 2. Loki was my favorite out of all the Marvel shows. So I was really excited.
Was it good?
It was really good. I liked it a lot.
Me and Billy need to watch that too.
But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was saying that Tom Hiddleston is just so good.
Yeah, he's great.
And yeah, I got to watch all of it in one sitting because I didn't watch it week by week.
Yeah.
But it was good. I liked it. I was interested. I was sad. I liked it.
Nice. And have I watched anything else new? No. Will I? No.
Oh, I just started. A lot of people have recommended to me to watch What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, because it's based off a movie. I can't get past episode 2, guys. I think it's kind of boring.
Mm.
It's like parts of it are really funny. Like they're all vampires that are living in modern day age.
Yeah.
And they all live on Staten Island in like a house together. And one of the vampires, I forget his name. I think his name's Colin or something. He's like instead of a bloodsucker, he just sucks energy. So he walks around and talks to people because he's really boring and then they like fall asleep and stuff and it's funny.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I thought the pilot was really funny and then I tried episode 2 and I couldn't get into it. So
rip.
I probably won't stick with it, you guys. But I did start the new season of Fargo. I've never watched it. And so far it's good.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. I think that's all I've been watching.
Well, you know what I've been watching.
Update on the puppy, my puppy. I am considering a name change because the name Willie, I don't know if it fits him, but I do keep calling him that because I can't figure out what I want to call him. So I don't know. He doesn't feel like a Willie. I keep trying to pick different names and I don't know.
And honestly, if you want to suggest a name, we ask the Patreoners to suggest names.
I am considering from that list.
And we may choose one from that list. So another incentive to join the Patreon. Who knows?
Something to think about.
But yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah. You know, he falls asleep in his crate crying, but I will play Elf in the background and that's what makes him fall asleep.
There you go.
Or a gumball. That's what I usually play when I go.
Whatever works.
Okay. So for this week's episode, we decided to ask or have all of you ask us questions about dating advice.
Yeah.
Because dating episodes tend to be our most popular ones and we've never done one strictly on dating advice. It's mostly just been dating horror stories.
Or advice. It's like we combine two topics that y'all consistently ask for and really like.
Mm-hmm.
So we combine them.
I agree.
This one was an us suggestion.
Yeah.
But sometimes we pick from the Patreon.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we do. I'm just saying. If you have a topic you are dying to get us to talk about, maybe it'll be picked from there. Who knows?
Who can say, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this first one is from Erin. She said, do you think it's possible to be happy in a romantic relationship when you have really opposing political views?
No.
No.
Next question. Just kidding.
No, I don't.
No, absolutely not. No. And I think that if you have to ask, you know the answer already. Because let me tell you something. If I was laying down at night next to someone that fucking hates gay people, what does that say about me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm cool with bigotry as long as I'm attracted to that person.
Yeah.
But I'm not cool with it if it comes out of a face that I'm not attracted to. Like, that makes me the biggest hypocrite alive.
Well, and I think too, obviously, things that are, you know, political, it had a huge shift by 2016. So before it used to be, I mean, it could be that, like, I hate gay people. I don't, but, you know, who cares? Because we both voted for Prop 8, right?
for whatever reason.
For religious reasons, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it used to be like, oh, well, I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat and we just disagree on how spending and war funding should be done.
And yeah, now it's, which is another thing that you should give a shit about.
I would care about, but I'm just saying, if I think, like,
yeah,
back
like,
then, right?
Like 50 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't, 20 years if someone ago, told me they were Republican, I wouldn't be afraid to talk to them where compared to now.
When I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying compared to now.
Because now the gift of information has given me perspective on what that means.
And new knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think if you have opposing views on like how you view other people, then I don't think you should have sex with people like that.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
It's probably not even good.
If we
on
both
top of that.
Don't agree on human, like basic human rights, it's not going to work out.
And honestly, anything political that you disagree on, no, you can't be with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, no, you can't. Like, and not only that, but, and maybe this is me just being like too macro lens on it. But like, when you think about, and listen, like, there's bad on both sides. Yeah, I fucking know. Like, I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? And we're marginalized indigenous people. We know how awful the government is on all sides, babe. Okay. We know that. Yeah. Let's take that off the table. I don't want to hear that. Right. But if we're talking, let's say we're talking about just the people that you know that are typically associated with two major political parties in this country, right? The worst people you know are almost always on the right. That is a 99.9% chance. They're always fucking awful and they're on the right. What makes you think that they're going to be a good partner to you? You know what I'm saying? Because I truly believe that in order to harass the fuck out of marginalized people or try to like pass legislation that restricts women's bodies or refusing to do anything about gun control because of your right to bear arms, whatever the fuck. And they always misuse that fucking amendment. That is not what it was for. It's not so you could just have a fucking Glock on you at all times. It was literally because of the government coming into your fucking home. Like, don't even get me started. Anyways, my point being, a lot of times that kind of ideology is associated with narcissism. And a selfishness and a very
and misogyny.
It literally, if you just take bigotry out of it, like obviously it's inherently bigoted, which should be more than enough, I feel like, for people who are not like that. Right. But even if you took bigotry off the table, which you never should, but let's just say you did, that kind of ideology lends towards a very selfish, narcissistic person, right? In a lot of ways, whether it's intentional or not, right? Sometimes it's intentional, which makes them an evil person. Sometimes it's not, and it makes them an ignorant person at best, right? Does that sound like characteristics of a partner that is going to uplift, uphold, and empower you?
Yeah.
No.
And respect you, no.
Exactly.
If they're not going to respect gay and trans people, why would they respect you?
Girl.
As a
and especially if you are heterosexual.
Yeah.
Like, especially then. You think a man who does not think gay people are human and doesn't respect them as people with thoughts, feelings, and ambitions because they're effeminate or they're just lesser than, you think he's going to respect you?
Yeah.
All the qualities that he associates with gay people are associated with women. You're in that pile too, bitch, is my point, right? And that's why I've told people before, get it out of the way. Politics, talk about it immediately. Who'd you vote for in 2016?
Where were you on January 6th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on abortion rights?
Yeah.
Get it out. What are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter? Get it out of the way immediately. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's a waste of fucking time.
And on dating apps, you can put on there that you're liberal, which I hate saying, but I usually put that.
And even then, like, sometimes you get the other half, which is fucking horrible. It's dudes being like, you wish you knew about liberal, huh? There's bad on both sides. Like that fucking guy. Oh
yeah.
He's not a conservative.
Centrist shit. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a conservative. but he's a fucking asshole. Yeah. So like he's just as bad in a different way.
No, I agree.
Right.
Okay, this next one's from Christina. Mm-hmm. She said, "Hi, besties. I recently had my lover girl heart shattered by a man who didn't care about me. Aww. I retreated back into my shell, but I want to know, how do I get over the fear of loving again?"
Oh, that's sad. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
I know, me too.
It's really unfortunate. Like an awful, awful, awful.
Yeah, it is. Especially because she's a Scorpio sun, Virgo moon and Cancer rising. So like double water in there. That's crazy.
I'm a Cancer rising. Oh no, I'm a Cancer moon.
I'm a Cancer rising.
Oh yeah, that's right.
All that to say, as a fellow Cancer rising,
I have Virgo and Cancer in my big three too, girl.
I mean, you said recently, like I want to say like maybe like 1 to 2 months after my breakup, I like woke up one morning and like told my mom, because, you know, I had to move back into my childhood bedroom. I woke up and told my mom, I was like, yeah. And I was crying and she's like, why, mom? I just think I never want to be in love again because I was so sad. And that makes sense because I got my lover girl heart fucking shattered as well. All that to say, I always tell everyone, I talk about the 3 month thing that, you know, it takes about 90 days to
build a habit.
Atomic habits.
Yeah. Atomic habits.
How to think and grow rich. So 3 feet from gold. So I think by the 90th day, like if you're really trying really hard to heal. So if it's you, if you're still talking to your ex, if you're still fucking around with them like that, the time just starts over.
And every single time. Healing.
You're not healing.
Yeah.
I feel like by the 90th day, and I know for a fact the 90th day, that's when I first started to feel like I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little bit. Yeah. So maybe like up to that point, like the highest I'd ever gotten in feeling better out of 100 was like maybe 20%. On the 90th day, I don't know why, I was like at a good 40. Like I was like, I was feeling pretty good.
Like you can kind of start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of start like paying attention to it, I mm-hmm. feel like a little bit more, because it's just, it's too hard to do it when you're in the middle of it, which is natural.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a natural human emotion.
I want to say, though, I think the best way to answer your question to get over the fear of loving again is falling in love with yourself. So our family is so big on like vision boards and
manifesting.
Like, yeah. And especially setting like goals for the next year.
Intention.
Yeah. Setting your intention for the whole year. So I think last year, I really wanted to focus on just like taking care of myself and refiguring out who I am on my own.
Yeah.
And then this year, I had put that I really wanted to fall in love. And I was telling my mom, I didn't fall in love with anyone, but I fell in love with myself. And she was all, and now I'm crying when we were talking about it. But it's true.
That makes me want to cry too.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think
and it's a beautiful thing. Like it really is. And it's, I feel like too, like with as little experience as I've personally had with that, I feel like, you know, I can't really offer anything amazing as like, especially as much as Dayson can, because Dayson has a lot of insightful anecdotes about that time in her life that are so incredibly helpful for so many different people. But I feel like a big portion of it, whenever you're ready, like whenever you're in that stage where past your 90th day where you really are trying to heal, mm-hmm. I feel like you'll look on it. It's kind of like 500 Days of Summer, right? At the very end, like towards the end of the movie, and then we all know Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the enemy in that movie. We all know that. But like when he's talking to Chloe Grace Moretz, like the little girl that he's friends with, and she's like, he's like, it was so perfect. I don't understand. And she said, was it? And he's like, what do you mean? She's like, really look back and really, really try and see if it was as perfect as you thought it was. And then he goes back through the exact same scenes and he sees a bunch of shit that he never saw before, which is like her being very clear and upfront that she did not love him the way that he loved her.
Yeah, because the whole point of that movie is that he's a narcissist.
Exactly.
And he doesn't realize that until she leaves him. And it's almost like he can't believe it, like baffles him that she doesn't love him the way that he does because he's such a catch.
Whereas, and it's also like an entitlement that men have, like to women. They're like, it's the same shit I've said before where it's like, I don't want to fuck you, but I can't believe you don't want to fuck me.
Exactly.
It's an entitlement to you and your attraction and like, just, it's like, well, of course I'm a man.
Yeah.
An ugly one. That doesn't mean I'm going to like you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even at the end when she was like, he was like, what's the difference? And then she was like, she's like, I don't know. I just felt sure. Mm. And he's like, sure of what? And she goes, what I was never sure of with you. And it's like, oh, to him. But she's being honest. Mm-hmm. And men do that shit all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Because he isn't being honest with himself the whole
movie. Exactly. He's telling himself something she never said.
Which I think we can all attest that
we've done in the past.
We lie about things to ourselves.
You know? My point being, whenever you're ready and you're in that spot, I truly feel you're going to look back and you're going to see a bunch of shit that you did not see in the beginning. And you're going to realize that the person that you're meant to be with would never make you feel that way. The person that you're meant to be with would never want to hurt you. The person that you're meant to be with would never want to lose you. You know what I mean? So Dason found that out on her own well past her 90 days, because it was like, first you got to heal. First you got to take care of yourself.
The five stages of grief, like all that shit. Yeah.
And once you're truly in a place where you feel good and you feel happy and you feel like optimistic about the future for once, you know what I'm saying? She looked back and she saw a lot of things that she did not see. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the gift of hindsight, you know what I mean? And I think that's going to help you a lot as far as looking forward to finding the person that you're meant to be with, right? It's going to inspire you and it's going to make you excited. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's going to make you feel like, I can't wait to find the person I'm actually supposed to be with, because it's going to be even better. It's going to be better than I could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
One of our good friends, who will remain unnamed, was going through a breakup at the same time that I was. Mm. Or hers was right before mine, but she gave Drew a lot of advice for me during mine. And one of the best pieces of advice she gave me was to watch movies. If you look through any episode we've ever talked about fucking breakups, even my fucking Instagram, I talk about the same things every single time.
Yeah. Well, you can never hear it too many times.
Yeah. But I'm saying movies, she told me you need to watch movies where there's a breakup happening, but the person who gets broken up with wins at the end, but it's not by getting with someone new.
Yeah.
It's by finding themselves.
Yeah.
So she said, forgetting Sarah Marshall, which is so funny.
That's a great one.
And at the end, does he fall in love with Mila Kunis? I guess kind of, but they don't really show that at the end. She just comes to a show.
And they kind of don't. Like, yeah. they like are attracted to each other, but they realize now is not a good time to be together.
And but then you watch him find himself and pursue his passion. And then he looks back at his relationship throughout the movie.
And he sees.
And he remembers that he didn't like certain things, but he ignored it.
But he saw one, like there's like this scene when he's on the red carpet the first time, and then you see it again the second time.
Where he's like standing, holding her purse and she's yelling at him.
Excuse me, Andre the Giant, get out of the way.
So that one's really good. She told me The Holiday, which is my favorite Christmas movie. I can watch that movie 100 times. Movie. You watch both of them, refine themselves, kind of fall in love, but not really. You know
but
what
that's
I mean?
Not the goal.
No.
It's just something that happened.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it's just like what the gift was that she loves herself enough to pursue someone that actually likes her and respects her as a person.
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
Literally.
So The Holiday. And then she also told me Under the Tuscan Sun, which makes me cry every single time I watch that movie, especially because there's a lesbian couple in that movie who are pregnant. It's Sandra Oh, and I forget who her girlfriend was in the movie.
Yeah.
And her best friend is Sandra Oh. And so Sandra Oh gets pregnant. They've been together for like 10 years or something crazy like that. And then her wife cheats on her and leaves her, which is exactly what happens to Diane Lane in the movie. So she comes all the way to Italy to be with her best friend so her best friend can help her have the baby.
Yeah.
And that I was literally me moving back into my childhood bedroom with two babies that are both cats.
And I'm the friend.
Yeah. Well, you and my mom are the friends.
Yeah.
So all that to say, you'll get through it and just really, I feel you can't focus enough on yourself after a breakup.
Absolutely.
If you're like me and you watch, you know, hours worth of TikTok and there's just so many TikToks of, hey, Riri, what's up, Rocky? And all you see is hundreds of couples in love like I have, right? Don't let that deter you. It will happen to you. You'll get to find the Riri to your Rocky, whatever the fuck you want.
What's up, Bullet?
Or the Bullet to your whatever the Suki. You'll find it.
Okay? I'm so sick of those that audio. I can't even say the Riri one because I like that one and I also made one to that.
Mm-hmm. But it was with pictures, right? You guys were like talking. Those ones made me laugh. I think they're cringy.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, which one am I more like? I'm like, girl, I don't know. They're both TikTok audios. Yeah,
I think you're neither. And you think you need to shut up. That's what I think. Okay, this next one's anonymous. She had three questions in here, but I'm going to pick the first one. She said, how do you work with jealousy when your partner always gets approached?
Okay.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
Well, okay. I'm assuming that you're talking about you, right? You're getting jealous because your partner.
I'm assuming.
Is like a. Attractive to other people, right?
I'm assuming.
You got to work on you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work on you, girl. Like, you got to work on where your external validation comes from, right? So, like, if your external validation comes from compliments or being hit on by other people, then it would make sense why you think that it makes your partner feel good to be hit on by other people.
Mm.
And then that therefore makes you jealous, because if the roles were reversed, you would think, well, you'll obviously be jealous. You know what I mean? And I am of the mindset that, well, first of all, I don't know if anyone can tell, but I truly do believe I'm very attractive. Like, I believe that in my own right. Does that mean I think it takes from anyone else? No. I just think that I am a good looking person, right? Mm. So I'm dating a good looking person. By very, very obvious, I feel like, definition, that means that both of us will be approached in some way or another. Probably him more than me, because he's a man, you know what I mean? And I'm a woman. So it's like the power dynamic is a little different in that sense. I'll get objectified more, like from a distance.
You both do.
But he also gets objectified quite often. Like, and but that's to his face when they're like approaching him, which is strange. It's weird.
It's weird, especially because obviously it's women.
Yeah.
So like, you know what it's like to be objectified.
Yeah.
Why would you think he would
exactly
feel like that?
I agree. I think it is misogynistic inherently, mm-hmm. which is odd because it's reversed. You know what I'm saying? I fucking hate that shit. I hate when Billy gets objectified to his face because I know how it makes him uncomfortable. And I think it's very obvious when he's uncomfortable because it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some women ignore that because they don't give a shit. That's the only part that bothers me. Him being a very handsome man, he's going to get hit on. Like, it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The same way he understands that I'm a very attractive woman, so I'm going to get hit on. Honestly, earlier this year, we both went to a party and it was a work party, and he went to the bathroom and I went to the bar, and we both got hit on at the same party, separate from each other.
At a party where everyone knew who they were.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand.
On top of that, like, and I was who I am today. Yeah, and so was he. Yeah. So like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, so random, so weird, so inappropriate, right? But we came together, talked about it, laughed about it, is what it is. I think a lot of times if you feel like this intense sense of jealousy around your partner being approached, I think sometimes that's a reflection of how you see yourself.
Mm.
Like maybe you're a little insecure, and yeah. Everybody's insecure. Don't get me wrong. But I think a way to like work through it, to answer your question, is to unpack how you feel about yourself, where your confidence and validation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then to start working on unpacking it. Like, mm-hmm. If you like, I don't know what like the dichotomy of your relationship is as far as like you're heterosexual, homosexual, whatever it may be. I'm not sure. But like, I'll just use myself as an example. If my external validation comes from men hitting on me and people finding me attractive, naturally, it's going to piss me off if people find my partner attractive, because I'm going to think to myself, oh, you like how that feels, huh? Because I like how that feels, because it makes me feel good about myself. Does that make sense?
I would think, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I would think like it would, like if I was dating someone and I kept watching them get approached and it would make me jealous. No, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, and I don't feel good about myself. So then I'm like, why am
that's
I
That's why
not?
I said,
well,
it's a twofer.
Well, and mine's girls. So like if it's me and another girl and she's getting approached, I'm like, why am I not getting approached?
Yeah. It's like, that's why I said, I don't know what the dichotomy of your relationship is, but it could be one of those two things, or it could be both of them, right? It could be an insecurity thing that you have to work through, or it could be that your validation comes from external compliments. Mm-hmm. Regardless of your sexuality, though, your confidence should never be in the hands of somebody other than you.
Yeah.
So your confidence should always come from you. Mm-hmm. You should always think that you're the baddest bitch alive, because you are, mm-hmm. right? And it shouldn't come because people approach you and they tell you that you're really good looking. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it could be one of those two things. It could be both. How you tackle that is to unpack where your external validation comes from, work on your confidence with yourself, loving yourself unabashedly, loving exactly what you look like, exactly the way you look right now.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding too, that you are a very good looking person and you got a very good looking mm-hmm. person. It takes a bad bitch to date a bad bitch. Only bad bitches can date each other. When bad bitches date mid people, that's when shit like that happens. Like uh-huh. shit goes south.
Yep.
Like that, or Keke Palmer and her fucking piece of shit ex-boyfriend, Jonah Hill, and his girlfriend. He's a piece of shit too. It takes a bad bitch to date a bad bitch.
Here's a great example of two bad bitches dating each other.
Other than me and Billy.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't thinking of you guys. I'm just kidding. It's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Takes a bad bitch. to date a bad
look bitch. How many shitty boyfriends she's had.
And all, and like, I, it, there are so many women, like female superstars, yeah, that like, as soon as they ascend,
oh yeah,
their boyfriends turn on them.
And I was gonna say, I can name a bunch of examples, but I don't want
drama.
I don't want the blowback.
You know who we're talking about.
You know which breakups we've been
talking about. As soon as they explode, their boyfriends turn on them. And they're like, oh, you just get all this this male attention.
You know who's a really powerful couple right now? Rosalia and Jeremy Allen White.
And what happened with her last boyfriend? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because he's not a bad bitch. She's a bad bitch. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's if the rumors are true that he cheated. I don't know if
that's true. I don't know.
If it was an amicable breakup, my bad.
In my eyes, she can never do any wrong.
if it was an amicable breakup, my bad, dude. Like, if it was mutual, saying, my bad. I think
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are such a great... Look at all her boyfriends she's ever had.
Yeah, and all of them churned on her.
Well, none of them would... Like, she just wants to have a boyfriend. Like, that, like, treats
like
her...
Like a partner.
Treats her with
like a
respect.
Fucking partner. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he had his own shit going on. Mm-hmm. He's rich, famous... Good looking, talented, right?
Athletic, yeah.
So they find each other is my point, right? And I don't want to hear any discourse about the two of them. I don't care. I'm just using them as an example.
I think it's a great example.
It's a good example. So that's why I'm saying, like, that's what I would do if I were you. But I will tell you this. Jealousy is a human emotion. It doesn't mean it should be common or it should happen all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's natural to feel jealous at some points or another. But I feel like a lot of times, I think it's more important that there's a big distinction between envy and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I think envy, you still, like, you envy them, but you're like, damn, that's so cool. But, like, you know, one day that'll be me. Or I wish that was me. That kind of stuff. I think jealousy is a little more, like, there's kind of a more negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Where I feel like envy is more of an aspirational context to mm-hmm. it. You're like, damn, I wish that was me. Whereas jealousy, it's like, why is that not happening to me? You see the difference? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, you're not a bad person and you're not a weird person and nothing's wrong with you. It's just it's something you got to unpack and it's okay. That's the whole point of being a human. Got to unpack as you grow, unfortunately.
I will note, depending on how your partner acts when they're approached.
That's a different story. I was going to say that. That's a different story.
That, as so I have experience in that.
And that's their fault.
Not me.
That's why I was going to say, if this is just like, it just happens and mm-hmm. they're like, okay, I have a girlfriend. So, you know what I mean?
But if they're like entertaining
eating it up,
yeah,
cut them loose, bitch. Like, that's a red fucking flag easily. That person seeks external validation from
other
people.
Take my advice. The first time you see it, like if they do something like that,
yeah,
you should break up with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't wait till it's the 16th time and you've been together for too long and you moved to New York and now you want to move back home. Don't wait till then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I tell you all a funny story really quick about this?
Okay.
One time Billy called me when he was on his way home because he went to go get us food.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. And he was like, dude, the craziest thing happened to me. And I was like, what? And he said he drove through a Cane's drive-thru. Obviously.
Raising Cane's, right?
Wait, Raising?
Not candy?
Not candy. I was going to say candy. Damn it.
Keep going.
Yeah. So he went through Cane's and he got his food. And I was like, he said that when he pulled up to the window, there was like two young girls. They look like they're
if
like,
you guys don't know this. At every drive through, there's a little camera so they can see what you look like at the little.
Oh, yeah.
At the when little you order. Menu, at the
yeah.
Menu.
So when he got to the window, there was like a gaggle of little girls there, yeah, like of women, like they were like all in their early 20s. It was like four or five of them.
Okay.
Waiting there.
Yes.
And so he pulls up and he takes his order and he's like, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And he like pays whatever. And the girl's like, I just want to say you're the hottest fucking guy I've literally ever seen. And then Billy gets really uncomfortable when shit like that happens. So he was like, oh, okay. And then he was like, all right, well, have a good day. And then she was like, yeah, you too, like laughing, right? And then he said he drove off. And he drove off so fast, he left his card at the window because he was so uncomfortable and embarrassed. And then he was like, fuck, dude. So then he got back in the line and had to go back to the window. And he's like, I left my card. Like when he pulled
why
up.
Why didn't he just park and get out?
I don't know.
you guys, I have another Billy story after this, but that's the most Billy part of the story, is that he didn't get out of the car. He's like, I'd rather wait in the line again.
There was no line. That's the only reason why he drove back in, because it was like a fucking Wednesday.
That's,
you know,
so
what I mean?
Silly. Anyways,
just a random day.
The most Billy thing ever.
Drives back and he tells at the window, he goes, hey, I'm sorry, I left my car. I was literally just here. I left my card. And then they were like, oh yeah, you can pull to the window. So he pulls back to the window and he's like, because he's like scared they're going to say something. Goes back to the window. The girl, all the girls are gone. And it's just that girl and her manager, mm-hmm. right? And then the girl was like, here's your card. Different energy entirely. He's like, oh, thanks. Sorry about that. And he's like putting it away. She goes, I just want to say to my coworker just told me who you are. And she told me who your girlfriend is. And I'm really sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. I did not know who you were. And he was like, oh, it's all right. Like, you don't need to say sorry. It's not a big deal. And he just drove off again. And he called and told me that story. And I giggled. We giggled together. And honestly, real recognize real, game recognize game. But I was like, I'm not going to be mean to you, girl. He's a good looking man. Of course, people are going to be like, ha cha cha when they see him. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, what was your other story that you were going to tell?
Oh, about Billy?
Yeah.
So we went to a Spotify event this week.
Yeah.
And on our way back, Billy goes, oh my, because his most used app has to be DoorDash. He is on there surfing the net.
Him and me both.
He's on there scoping it out. Every time we go somewhere new, he goes on there first to see what they have.
That's available. True. Like when we land in new places, he mm-hmm. opens DoorDash to see what's on there.
So anyway, so we're driving home and he goes, ooh, I'm going to order food. And Jerry's like, okay. So he's opening it because we're driving back home. And he goes, ooh, let's get something good. And Jerry goes, okay. What do you think is the first restaurant he showed?
And it's not Cane's, believe it or not.
What do you think is the first one he showed? To me,
it wrong.
Yeah. Whatever you were going to say is going to be wrong.
Wrong.
He said Panda Express.
He showed that shit to me and I said, knock it off.
He showed it and I go, that's what you, let's get something good. And then you pick fucking
Panda And also Express. Before anyone's like, oh, was it late? No. It was like 8:30.
Yeah.
So there was plenty of restaurants.
It was
open.
So early, in fact, that he was able to order from Red Robin, which is something, when someone says, let's get something good, I'm thinking Red Robin or Islands.
Yeah, he's just got a weird thing with Panda. Like, that's like his...
Dude,
he's.
I literally
I just thought of something.
I was laughing about that the whole way home. Let's get something good. Shows fucking Panda Express.
And I... Don't get me wrong. I love a Panda Express orange chicken.
When someone says, let's get something good, I'm not thinking Panda Express.
No way, girl.
I'm thinking that's the only thing open that tastes good. We'll get that.
Yeah.
I don't like Taco Bell. I think it's just okay.
I went through such a heavy phase with Taco Bell in college because I killed it for myself.
Me too. And you know why? Because it's cheap as fuck.
It's cheap as fuck. And you get so much food for fucking $9.
But I just think
Del Taco, but I still love Del Taco.
I ate there too much because it was so cheap in 2020.
I fuck with that too. I fuck with that ideology. I'm just saying I will almost never order from Taco Bell again, but I could see myself ordering from Del Taco.
I just think it's cheaper, but at what cost? I have to buy 6 tacos. You know what I mean?
To be full, to feel something.
That doesn't make sense.
Wait, I was going to say something else. Last night I got the idea to play that We're Not Really Strangers game. Or what's that thing? What's that game? Card game.
Yeah. The one where I was gagged on a first date.
When you got fucking gooped so bad. Like you were fucking scalped on your first date. Well, anyways, I had that idea last night. I was like, dude, we should play. And so I ordered it and it got brought to the house. And they have a couples edition of it, which I didn't know.
Yes.
So
that's the one I played on a first date.
You played the couples edition?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't know.
The other one's for people you're dating. That's weird. That's
maybe it was the other one. I don't know. The questions just follow. Okay. I told you an example of the question. It was was I popular in high school, yes or no?
Yeah, no. See, yeah, that's different. Because the couple's version is about each other. So it's one of them's what was your first impression when you first met me versus when you started dating me? It's shit like that.
Okay. You know that's how when she answered that question, it felt like that's what she was answering. But sure. Go ahead.
But we played the couples edition last night and I was like, this would just be something fun to do, something different than just sitting on our phones, you know? Mm-hmm. Dude, because you know there's different levels. Is that like that on the regular one? So the first one we were laughing because it's silly shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the second one's is connection, so they're a lot deeper. We were both crying playing. Mm-hmm. We were both sobbing to each other because we just love each other so much. It was just so
Oh.
My point being, like, that game does something to you. Like, it's just like, I genuinely thought it was going to be like, when did you know you loved me? It's like, true, shit, like you've already spoken about at some point or another. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they were questions I had never, ever, like, you know what I'm saying?
Would,
like,
you love me if I had a stinky ass? Was that in there?
Should have been on level one.
Whoever makes the game, I'm adding a question in there.
That's why they're so stupid. Like, the first ones are really fun. They're, well, like,
the
silly.
Other one, I'm sure when you play it with a bunch of people you already fucking know, it's probably way more fun.
Yeah.
But you can ask, I mean, people do cry when they play it. I didn't because, you know, I was on a first date, but
yeah, I couldn't believe it. Because I've heard that, but mm-hmm. I didn't. I was like, nah.
You know who I saw that from was Dom Roberts. She said that I saw her posting. That was the first time I ever saw someone post about that.
Yeah,
And I will believe anything Dom tells me to do. She tells me to buy something.
We love Dom.
I'm gonna buy it.
Dom Roberts. If you don't already know,
if you don't follow her, she's genuinely one of the funniest people.
She's so fucking funny.
And she's so sweet and so
and
thoughtful.
So smart. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I saw her play with a bunch of her friends, and she said, "Why are we all like, dude, sobbing at
no,
that?"
No, for real. And then it made me want to play with people I love. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, but then I'm kind of scared because I'm like, I kind of don't want to play because it's so emotional.
I'm assuming Squid opted out of the game.
He was literally going like snoring right next to us when it was happening. Then he got up and he threw up on the floor.
He's like, woo, is there a card in there about this?
Oh, you guys love each other.
Yeah.
Blech.
Oh, you did. Oh, what's
I was just, my point being, that game is fucking intense. I did not think that was gonna happen.
That's why I said, when I tell
people, no, I agree with you on that.
When I tell people I did that on a first, like when I told Andrew and Joe that, they're like, on a first date.
Yeah. Now having played it, that's fucking insane.
No, I know. And that's why I was like, what's happening? What is happening?
Yeah. Like, you can tell it's literally meant for people who have known each other for just like forever.
But it allows you to deeper connect with
one
another.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Or like people who have been dating for like a while, at least like a year or 2 years.
Fuck, even a month, I'd give you that. Yes. What the fuck? With lesbians, a month is a year.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
It's like dog years.
Oh, you know? Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Like, that's why I saw someone that said Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are moving at lesbian speed. And you know what? I'm in full support of that. Go ahead, girlfriend. Okay, we got a lot of questions from queer people that were like, how do I get over having a crush on a straight person? I think be realistic with yourself. Yeah. This is my short answer to you. Be realistic with yourself that you're hurting yourself, only yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, and I think, I mean, obviously, again, like, I can only speak to what I, as much as I can with like, no personal tie to it, but, mm-hmm. like, I feel like there's a larger message at play if you're knowingly chasing people that you know it won't work out with. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a you thing, because you must have some sense or fear of commitment to some extent, because you know that that's not going to work. And you know it's not going to last, but you won't stop, because it's easier to chase something that you know you can't have than it is to like commit to something that could potentially be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. Okay, this next one's from Lexi. She said, hello, queens. For context, I'm a lesbian.
Period.
I just entered a relationship with a very toxic woman.
Uh-oh.
Who I've only known for 2 weeks. That's so lesbian.
Lesbian time.
You didn't even have to put context. That's lesbian.
Yeah, if you had just said that part and didn't say how you identified, no, I would have known, yeah.
For 2 weeks, who's apparently still in love with her ex. Very lesbian.
That's also,
very lesbian.
Yeah,
but culture. I don't want to be single. Very lesbian.
Yeah.
Would you advise breaking up or staying with her?
What do you think?
By the way, love you. Love you too.
Love you.
But I'm not going to love you anymore if you stay with that girl.
Love you, but you're being dumb.
You need to take care of yourself. I think it is really scary to be alone. That's the worst part of breakups. But also, you've only known her for 2 weeks, so I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, losing 8 years. That's different. But I think you'll be more than okay. And I think you need to focus on yourself. If you're already seeing that she's showing like signs of like toxicity or things like that.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Also, like, why do you think, I really want you to ask yourself this. Why do you think that love needs to hurt in order for it to be real? Because a lot, like when my lesbian followers ask me questions, a lot of times they're tied to stuff like this, and women who are with like awful fucking men.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like this attachment there. And even you have admitted that you guys haven't known each other for very long, right? As far as like dating goes, mm-hmm. It hasn't been like years or anything. And I feel like there's this addiction to people who you know are bad for you,
mm-hmm.
because one, you can predict the ending, which is, again, like, it's not going to hurt that much. If I know they're terrible, like, I'm like, when they do hurt me, I can say, well, yeah, obviously they're terrible.
I think a huge part of it too is thinking you can fix it. A lot of the questions in here are like, how do I get over wanting to be with people that I know I can fix and help?
Again, why do you think that love needs to hurt in order for it to be real? Because it's not true. I think it's kind of like one time Billy told me this and it's like stuck with me forever, which is like,
who's Billy?
Who? It's he said, sometimes the simplest answer is the scariest one. Mm-hmm. So you look for a more complicated one, mm-hmm. right? Like on purpose, because it's just, it's too terrifying that it the fact that it is so simple is more terrifying.
Yeah. So you admitted you're more afraid of being alone than being with someone who doesn't make you feel good. And as someone who's experienced that, you get over the being, I would rather be alone. I always think of this quote I saw on TikTok, which I'm sure that person didn't make it up, but it was like, I would so much rather be the girl that everyone goes, why is she single, instead of why is she with that person?
That's fucking real.
I think of that every day of my life.
That's so fucking real. Cause I can think, I have so many kick ass female friends, mm-hmm. like women, female identifying friends, who I'm like, that bitch is a catch. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, whoever gets that bitch is going to be so lucky. Dayson's mm-hmm. one of them. Like, I'm like, that bitch is a fucking catch. Like, wow, whoever gets her is going to be so fucking lucky. I am surrounded by women like that, which I adore.
Yeah.
Dayson's one of them. Teffy. Mm-hmm. Brittany.
Dana.
Yeah.
Dom.
Like, I am surrounded by women like that. And that is badass, dude. Mm-hmm. That's like that type of shit where you're like, you better work, bitch. Right? Like, you're too good for anyone I know, personally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So hopefully whoever, I know you're going to find someone, and just nobody that I know personally, because you're too good.
I would rather be the girl that they go, why is she still single?
Exactly. And I have plenty of friends like mm-hmm. that. You know then what I'm saying?
Why is she with that?
And then you're like, ugh, and she's with that person.
Yeah.
Which is fucking horrible. So yeah, that's a really good point. That is like, and that's why I said it's chasing something that you know, like, or staying with someone that you know. Also, one time I saw this too, when they said like, for someone, like, a fear of being alone is a very natural human emotion, but you're not alone, you're single. Those are two different things.
Oh my God, literally me. Say that one more time for the girls in the back.
That's like, you're not alone, you're single. Mm-hmm. Those are two very different things. You had to change your perspective on how you see being single. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, being single is not an indictment on the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's not indicative of anything. It's not a precursor to anything. If anything, savor being single, bitch, because the minute you get with someone that actually fucking rocks, like, one of the questions that I asked yesterday was like, what was something that was shocking to you to like, realize about the other person, like, what was something that was shocking, whatever. And I like literally told him, I was like, everyone I had dated prior to Billy, like, I literally was like, relationships require sacrifice, relationships require compromise. I was not willing to mm-hmm. compromise with literally any bitch that I had ever come across. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm never gonna compromise for you, no way. The part that scared me the most was when I met Billy, I was willing to compromise in a lot of ways. Like, I was willing, and not myself or anything like that. I was just willing to like put down my fucking ego.
Even in like small things. So like Drew's talked about before, she's like, why would I ever get married? I have to share a space with someone. Oh, she was talking about the wedding planner.
Oh, the wedding planner,
at
dude.
At the beginning, how J-Lo is single.
Yeah.
And Drew was saying, that looks like so much fun.
When I was a kid and I watched that movie and they're like, oh, she must lead him such a romantic life in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And then it's like supposed to be funny that she's home alone. When I watched that scene, I thought that I can't wait for that to be me. Like, she gets home by herself. House is clean. Mm-hmm. Dinner's prepped. You change it to a nice outfit. Watch your show with your meal.
Yeah.
You know, drink a little.
You guys, that's, to me, that is the best part about that's being like, single.
Get a little drunk, clean for no reason.
I can watch whatever I want, eat what I want to eat for fucking dinner. Even if it's Red Robin again. Yeah. I get to pick.
That's why I said, like, savor being single, because when you enter into a relationship with someone that you actually, that deserves you.
I saw someone saying, why am I so picky? And I said, because you're not willing to give up being single. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's tea, bitch.
That's something that's I had. I was like, oh no, I didn't like talking to her because she asked me too many questions. And Drew was like, just say you didn't want to, like, you didn't want to compromise. I didn't.
That's why it's like,
and I hadn't even met her. I was already like quitting before her.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Right. So you're not single. You're not alone. You're single. Right. There's a very big difference. Nothing wrong with being single. I had some of the best times of my fucking life when I was single. I really did. Even to this day. And now I have some of the best times of my life in a very different way. You know what I'm saying? One is not inherently better than the other. They're just both fucking awesome mm-hmm. in different ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So change your perspective on what being single means and break up with that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. This is the last one we're going to do, but then the next episode we'll do more.
We'll do a part two.
Yeah. We will do a part two. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one's from Lily. She said, do you think dating in high school is a good idea? I don't know if I want to, but I feel like I would miss out if I didn't. I think it's a waste of time. I don't know if it's a waste of time. I think
relationships in high school are a waste of time.
Okay.
Like boyfriend, girlfriend for 4 years. I think that's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think dating around, like having fun, going to dances, kissing, you know what I'm saying? Like kind of just like figuring out what you like and what you don't like. Mm-hmm. I think there's no harm in that. As mm-hmm. long as everyone's consenting and everyone's safe, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I will say, towards the end of high school, so like yeah. junior, senior year, when you're a child, like, no.
Because we weren't allowed to date in high school.
Yeah.
That was against our, we were, it was just a rule.
My mom wanted us to focus on sports school. And school.
If you're Polynesian or Samoan of any sort,
you know that.
You know, you know that it only applies to the girls, not the boys. You know yeah. that for whatever reason.
But we always went to dances. Yeah. And we had dates at certain dances. You guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
If Dayson dated in high school, I would have had to either kill her or whoever she dated. Because she had a crush on the worst people alive.
But
like
maybe if I was allowed to date in high school, or at least kiss boys, if I was allowed to do that, I would have realized I was gay faster.
I don't think you would have.
No?
No, I think you would have committed to the bit. And then it probably would have lasted even longer in college, if I'm being honest. Because I think that you were so deathly afraid of public perception, even more so in high school.
Especially at that time, because our school was so homophobic.
Well, that's yeah. what I mean. Like, even more so when you're younger mm-hmm. because you don't know who you are yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that realization would have scared you into staying in that box longer, if I'm being honest.
Well, at least till college. I think I always would have been gay.
Like, I'm saying like longer than you realize, like you realized you were gay your freshman year in college. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm saying like it probably would have lasted to like, maybe it would have been later, like sophomore, junior year mm-hmm. that you would have found out you were gay. You know what I'm saying? I think that the constrictions of it would have hurt you more, to be honest. So I'm glad you didn't date in high school, because I feel like, I mean, maybe you would have found out sooner, but just, I knew you in high school. Like, you and I lived together. We slept across from each other for fucking.
But it was obvious if you look back.
No, it was very obvious that you were gay. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, the your boy crazy mind at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that you would have kissed one boy and been
I never would have kissed girls in high school. No.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, that thought, even though you were like, I didn't enjoy that.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of like Mitchell in Modern Family.
Yeah.
Like, he dated several women and mm-hmm. had sex with them and everything. And, like, he was still like, oh, I hate this. But, like, he's so, like, nervous and scared and introverted that he like didn't come out of his shell until like in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it would have done more harm than good, to be honest.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad it happened the way it happened. I wish that you didn't get wifed down so early, but like,
anyone does.
Yeah. But I'm glad you didn't date in high school is my point.
So do I think it's a good idea? No, but I think dating around is different.
Yeah. I think like, you know, having crushes, talking to boys, like I did that shit. I mean, you guys know I never had a crush, but like I did talk to boys and shit like that all throughout high school, and like going to dances and shit like that. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Dating around kind of thing, like kind of seeing who you like, who you don't, like wearing someone's jersey to the game. Like, shit, like, I think shit like that's cute. I think that's fun. I think yeah. it's innocent. I think
it's camp.
I think that relationships are a waste of time in high school, personally.
I know. Come on.
Yeah.
It is. So, okay, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Ish.
We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you can listen to other episodes ever. You can stream podcasts, and the video version is always on our YouTube channel. And again, don't forget, we're doing a trivia night with our friends on Patreon.
Ish.
All the information is on our Instagram. I'll put it in the description box below.
It's going to be very fun.
Very fun, very silly. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
But other than that, we love you, and we'll do a part two this next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.